Well, good afternoon and evening. 1753 hours Eastern Daylight Time, July 24th, 2023. Ward Green here with you. I am indeed suffering. I stumble around when I walk. So, and my dentist's office tells me that they see a root canal is needed on my tooth. From the x-ray they can tell. So I guess that's what we're going to be doing now, is a root canal. So for today's study, Carl Jung said, man cannot stand a meaningless life. And Confucius said, forget injuries, never forget kindnesses. Mark Twain said, patriot, the person who can holler the loudest without knowing what he is hollering about. Our song for today is from 1980. It was in the movie called 9 to 5, and the song is called 9 to 5. It's by Dolly Parton. She wrote the song. She sings the song. It reached number one in Canada in 1980 and 81, and also the top number one spot on three U.S. charts as well. So four number one spots on charts around the world. This is Dolly Parton singing 9 to 5. Stop. Sorry. This is what we want to do. Wrong speaker system. Here we go.
Kitchen, pour myself a cup of ambition and yawn and stretch and try to come to life. Jump in the shower and the blood starts pumping. Out on the street, the traffic starts jumping with folks like me on the job from 9 to 5. Working 9 to 5. What a way to make a living, daddy. Getting by, it's all taking and no giving. They just use your mind. Just a step on the boss man's ladder, but you got dreams he'll never take away. On the same boat with a lot of your friends, waiting for the day your ship will come in, and the tide's gonna turn, and it's all gonna roll your way. Working 9 to 5.
A short song from Dolly Parton in 1980, and I remember seeing the movie as well, but the song certainly has a life of its own. It's very full of words and full of meaning, it would appear, for the working person around the world, is it not? I think many of us might agree with that. Our study from the I'm almost saying the Wild Road. We've done the Wild Road article. This is the Born Again article, chapter 2, paragraph 11. I still want to say Wild Road article because that was such an interesting, to me, fascinating to read. And, I mean, even at the time that I was actually writing it, it was fascinating to me. It really was. I was learning. Everything that I was writing was just being learned at the time that I was writing it. So to read it again now, it's extremely interesting to me. And that's true also of this article. I was learning these things just as I was writing them. The reason why this is a better interpretation is seen again from the beginning of the first week. This being the idea of the middle of the week being the best interpretation for the fulfillment of the prophecy of Daniel chapter 9. And at the half of the week, Jesus, or the Messiah, would be prophetically causing sacrifice and gift offering to cease. And the reason why this is a better interpretation to compute things according to the beginning of the week is what we're now studying in this next paragraph. So the middle of the week is the preferred time on which to center our calculations. That's what we talked about in paragraph 10. And we see from the beginning of the first week, which now is situated at BCE 458 or 457, which would be near year 7 of Artaxerxes under the variant view with year 1 as 464. The 70 weeks of years of Daniel are 70 times 7 years, which is 490. So we calculate 490 minus 458 in order to calculate how far past the common era, that how far past the turn of the common era we go here. And then we add 1 because there's no 0 year. And we get 33 CE from that calculation. 490 minus 458 is 32, plus 1 is 33. And that was when Peter, we already discussed, welcomed the Gentiles. It is once again a privilege to share these new views. The views of various Christians are in part reconciled by this understanding. So we get multiple fulfillment. The year 30 CE for the crucifixion is the only year at this point that offers a fulfillment of Daniel's words in Daniel 9, verses 24 through 27 in this way. But does it offer more? Of course, the baptism of Jesus by John comes from the year 30 CE as 3.5 years earlier, which is the fall, which is the fall of 26 CE. By calculation, 30 minus 3.5 is the latter part of 26 CE. Thus, because Jesus was impaled in the spring of 30 CE, of course, so it would be the fall of 26 CE, thus 483 years after BCE 458. And also, we show that calculation as 483 minus 458 plus 1, which is 426. 483 minus 458 is 25, plus 1 is 26. That was when Jesus was baptized by John. All of these dates are the dates in our chronology, the genealogy. After his baptism, Jesus begins his ministry in 26 CE, immediately following his baptism. The Jews are from that point given 7 years to come into the new covenant before the Gentiles are let in. Jehovah's covenant with Israel remains in effect until 33 CE. So there are 7 years allowed for the covenant to remain in effect, that is, the Mosaic Law covenant in effect between Jehovah and his people Israel, during which years they remain his only people. The time until Messiah the leader is given is 7 weeks, and also 62 weeks. That's from Daniel chapter 9, which we may consider additionally. And that's all for today's study of Born and Raised. Now, little children, our proverb for today. It's Proverbs 13:6. Righteousness itself safeguards the one who is harmless in his way, but wickedness is what subverts the sinner. So Numbers 24. When Balaam got to see that it was good in the eyes of Jehovah to bless Israel, he did not want to go away. He did not go away. Sorry, there's no word want in there. He did not go away as at the other times to come upon any unlucky omens, but he directed his face to the wilderness. He wasn't trying to find a way to curse Israel, but he directed his face to the wilderness. When Balaam raised his eyes and saw Israel tabernacling by his tribes, this is the same Balaam who was sought for by Balak in order to, as Balak said, execrate Israel. Then when Balaam raised his eyes, the Spirit of God came to be upon him. Hence he took up his proverbial utterance and said, the utterance of Balaam, the son of Beor, and the utterance of the able-bodied man with the eye unsealed, the utterance of the one hearing the sayings of God, who got to see a vision of the Almighty while falling down with the eyes uncovered. How good-looking are your tents, O Jacob, your tabernacles, O Israel. Like torrent valleys, they have extended a long way, like gardens by the river, like aloe plants that Jehovah has planted, like cedars by the waters. I think we shouldn't be hearing the hard drives. Let me turn the hard drives off. Oh, I don't know where to find it. Hang on a second. I did this yesterday. These hard drives should be put to sleep. Where is that found? I know it's near. It's near the battery. Right, here it is. Lock screen. It's in the lock screen. Oh, look. Wait a minute. Turn off power adapter. Where are the screen? Oh, it's under accessibility options. Is it? No. I saw it before. Let's look under battery. It's under battery. You go down to options. And it says, put hard drives to sleep when possible. Always. Okay. So it's set correctly. Currently it's making a noise, which sounds definitely like a hard drive. How good looking are your tents, O Jacob, your tabernacles, O Israel. Like torrent valleys, they have extended a long way, like gardens by the river, like aloe plants that Jehovah has planted, like cedars by the waters. The tents are like cedars by the waters. Water keeps trickling from his two leather buckets, and his seed is by many waters. His king also will be higher than Agag, and his kingdom will be lifted up. God is bringing him out of Egypt. The swift course of a wild bull is his. He will consume the nations, his oppressors, and their bones he will gnaw, and he will break them to pieces with his arrows. He bowed down, he lay down like the lion, and like a lion, who dares rouse him? Who dares rouse him? Those blessing you are the ones blessed, and those cursing you are the ones cursed. In other words, Israel is God's blessed people, chosen people. And Balaam cannot curse that nation. At that, Balak's anger blazed against Balaam, and he clapped his hands, and Balak went on to say to Balaam, it was to execrate my enemies that I called you, and look, you have blessed them to the limit these three times. And now run your way off to your place. I had said to myself, I was without fail going to honor you, but look, Jehovah has held you back from honor. In turn, Balaam said to Balak, was it not also to your messengers whom you sent to me that I spoke, saying, if Balak were to give me his house full of silver and gold, I should not be able to pass beyond the order of Jehovah, so as to do something good or bad out of my own heart. Whatever Jehovah may speak is what I shall speak. And now, here I am going away to my people. Do come, let me advise you what this people will do to your people afterward in the end of days. So he took up his proverbial utterance and said, the utterance of Balaam, the son of Beor, and the utterance of the able-bodied man with the eye unsealed, the utterance of the one hearing the sayings of God, and the one knowing the knowledge of the Most High, a vision of the Almighty he got to see while falling down with the eyes uncovered. I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not near. A star will certainly step forth out of Jacob, and the scepter will indeed rise out of Israel. And he will certainly break apart the temples of Moab's head, and the cranium of all the sons of tumult of war. And Edom must become a possession. Yes, Seir must become the possession of his enemies, while Israel is displaying his courage. And out of Jacob one will go subduing, and he must destroy any survivor from the city. And when he got to see Amalek, he carried further his proverbial utterance and went on to say, Amalek was the first one of the nations, but his end afterward will be even his perishing. When he got to see the Kenites, he carried further his proverbial utterance and went on to say, durable is your dwelling and set on the crag is your abode, but there will come to be one to burn Cain down. The Kenites are from the nation of Cain. How long will it be till Assyria will carry you away captive, he said about the Kenites. And he carried further his proverbial utterance and went on to say, woe! Who will survive when God causes it? And there will be ships from the coast of Kittim, and they will certainly afflict Assyria, and they will indeed afflict Eber, and he too will eventually perish. After that, Balaam got up and went and returned to his place, and Balak also went his own way. Amalek was the first one of the nations, but his end afterward will be even his perishing. And we know that Israel, earlier in our studies of the Bible books of Moses, vanquished Amalek in a battle. So that's a reminder of that. We learned about the Kenites and how their name comes from the name Cain, K-A-I-N. And we learned how Balaam was unable to execrate Israel, but in fact he blessed the nation of Israel, whom we know. It's not whom were, it's who were, because the verb is and were. To be, that verb always takes the subjective case. So it's who were, not whom were. Whom were called, but whom were is not right. Whom were called, but who were? Whom were called by Jehovah and who were his people? Israel. But Balaam could see this through the Holy Spirit, which he received from Jehovah, because the Spirit of God came down upon him, or came to be upon him in verse 2. Now, one more study portion for today, little children, is from 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Let a man so appraise us as being subordinates of Christ and stewards of sacred secrets of God. Besides, in this case, what is looked for in stewards is for a man to be found faithful. Now, to me, it is a very trivial matter that I should be examined by you or by a human tribunal. Even I do not examine myself, for I am not conscious of anything against myself. Yet, by this, I am not proved righteous, but he that examines me is Jehovah. Hence, do not judge anything before the due time, until the Lord comes, who will both bring the secret things of darkness to light and make the counsels of the hearts manifest, and then each one will have his praise come to him from God. Now, brothers, these things I have transferred so as to apply to myself and Apollos for your good, that in our case you may learn the rule, do not go beyond the things that are written, in order that you may not be puffed up individually in favor of the one against the other. For who makes you to differ from another? Indeed, what do you have that you did not receive? If now you did indeed receive it, why do you boast as though you did not receive it? You men already have your fill, do you? You are rich already, are you? You've begun ruling as kings without us, have you? And I wish indeed that you had begun ruling as kings, that we also might rule with you as kings. For it seems to me that God has put us, the apostles, last on exhibition as men appointed to death, because we have become a theatrical spectacle to the world and to angels and to men. We are fools because of Christ, but you are discreet in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are in good repute, but we are in dishonor. Down to this very hour, we continue to hunger and also to thirst and to be scantily clothed and to be knocked about and to be homeless and to toil, working with our own hands. When being reviled, we bless. When being persecuted, we bear up. When being defamed, we entreat. We have become as the refuse of the world, the offscouring of all things until now. I am writing these things not to shame you, but to admonish you as my beloved children. For though you may have 10,000 tutors in Christ, you certainly do not have many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I have become your father through the good news. I entreat you, therefore, become imitators of me. That is why I am sending Timothy to you, as he is my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, and he will put you in mind of my methods in connection with Christ Jesus, just as I am teaching everywhere in every congregation. Some are puffed up as though I were in fact not coming to you, but I will come to you shortly if Jehovah wills, and I shall get to know not the speech of those who are puffed up, but their power. For the kingdom of God lies not in speech, but in power. What do you want? Shall I come to you with a rod, or with love and mildness of spirit? And that's the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 4. We've got 11 minutes remaining in our study, little children. I mean, I love talking about the Born and Raised article. It's very much of a pleasure for me, but it's wise to do it in small pieces anyway. And besides the fact that, of course, we are always constricted or restricted with regard to how much time we have, we can't just, you know, every day talk for 6 hours about one particular paragraph or some example or some thing like that. So what else? There are always a lot of things to talk about. Oh, the food. I got the blueberries. And the blueberries, for some reason, they sent me an extra. I only ordered one, I think. They sent me two because they sent one with one of the packages, and then I got an extra one. So, but, of course, one of my packages that was $450 I never received. So maybe I shouldn't complain about getting an extra blueberries, but the blueberries are fantastic. Well, I'll show you them. I'm going to show you because I have them right here. I have them right here. If I don't knock them on the floor and scatter them everywhere, here they are. Look at these blueberries. So they come. It says 100% not from concentrate. That's what it says. And then it says blueberry juice made from 140 grams of premium blueberries, not from concentrate. And you open this, and you just drink pure blueberry juice. And it's a small little packet. You get 9 of these for, how much were they? For 9. I forget. You don't get a lot of juice in each package, but it's so precious. So nutritious. Where's the Amazon? Here we go. Let's see if I can find it. Is this my orders? No. Maybe I can find it right here. Here, right here. And it's good that you can have a little small window pop up telling you what the page is that you're looking for. Here's an example. I click on this one. Returns and orders. And go down to the blueberries. There they are. I didn't order 2 of them. I don't believe. Maybe I ordered them separately. I'm not sure, but if so, I'd have a record of the order. So 9 of them. They're not available. That means to find out, I'd have to No. I clicked on the wrong thing. Order. Here it is. Order. Okay. Really? Okay, yeah, that's a much larger order, but I have to find the invoice that contains the blueberries. There it is, blueberry juice. $30. I thought I was thinking 20, but $29.99. $30 for 9 packets like this. That's not too bad. And they don't need refrigeration during shipping because they're sealed. You open them up, and it doesn't even say it needs refrigeration after opening. But I'm keeping them in the fridge because I like to have a cold drink after I've opened it anyway. Or even before I open it, I can refrigerate it. It says store in a dry, clean, and well-ventilated place. But blueberries, is that remarkable? I mean, that's for $30, you get 9 of these packages of 140 grams. I mean, Amazon keeps getting better and better, and I love Amazon. And we do appreciate, by the way, about the governing body, we do appreciate very much all their hard work and all the ways in which they try to be an example to us. And if they say that they know we're going to love something, then it's very likely we will love it. But and it's the same with being commanded to be united. We might resent the fact that we're being commanded to be united, especially since how can we be united if we try to conform to what our brothers are saying? They might, and they try to conform to what we're saying. If we both conform at the same time, we're just going to switch places. So it seems difficult to be able to receive and accept and obey the command to be united. But fortunately, in 1 Corinthians, that was talking about being united with regard to accepting Christ as the source of the baptism and not attributing our baptism to other brothers or other people in the congregation, such as Paul or Apollos or whoever might have been baptizing different new believers or converts at the time. Isn't it a marvelous thing that the Jewish faith, which was given to the Jews initially, and by the way, the Jews were not some, you know, isolated, although they were isolated in many ways from the world, as we saw. They didn't, count themselves among any of the other nations. They did have this isolationist point of view, but they were very favored by God. They were very joyous many times, at times. And they were this people who were just full of life and full of joy. And that's a part of who the Jews were as God's people. That's a big part of who they were, I believe, as God's people. And I see that. I've seen that at different junctures in my life. After I started studying the Bible did I start to perceive that. I always believed the Jews were a persecuted people. Right? They've been a persecuted people. That's true. They've been persecuted, but that's because they're so joyous. As a Jewish people, before we had the Christian religion, they were persecuted even then because they were God's people and they had so much joy. And people envy that joy. They feel other people who are not Jewish back then hated that. They hated the fact that the Jews had great joy and blessings, and that's why this persecution, for example, by Balak, as we read today, occurred. But this joy that Balaam clearly saw in Israel is real, and I myself have seen it before this time. I've seen, and it was new to me when I first started doing my own research on, I think it was probably when I started doing more of my own research when I started to be more aware of this joy that the Jews had. But even from Romans, where it says that the Jewish people became custodians of God's word, right? Words to that effect in the book of Romans, that they became the ones who were reading God's word. It's at I'm thinking Romans 15 and 4. Let's see if I'm right about that. I can't find it there because it's not in our history. Romans 15 and 4. No. Wait. Yes. No, that's about right. All the things that were written aforetime were written for our instruction, that through our endurance and through the comfort from the scriptures we might have hope. That's a very powerful one. Where is it in Romans? They were entrusted. That's it. I'm going to look up the word entrusted. Should be able to find it that way. Entrusted with the sacred pronouncements of God. 3:2. Romans 3:2. The Jews were entrusted with the sacred pronouncements of God. And, I mean, I was doing a little research trying to find out how old the book of Job was today. Some people think it's older than Moses, but if Moses wrote it, of course, it's not older than Moses. And there are a number of us who believe that Moses wrote the book of Job. But some people say it's as old as 1900 BCE, and other people say it's as young as 500 and something BC, the book of Job. But it might be the oldest book in the Bible, older than, it appears, it may well be older than the Law of Moses, or the first, in other words, older than the first five books of the Bible. So the book of Job is so significant. But it's also a drama. There aren't any other books in the Bible that are a drama, according to what I was reading today. It's the only book that is like a drama rather than poetry or prose, according to what I read somewhere today. But that's an interesting thought. But the Jews were entrusted with the sacred pronouncements of God. So, and for example, in Islam, they believe that the Quran was direct revelation, whereas a lot of the things in the Quran are written in the Bible as well. But notwithstanding that, the people of Islam believe that the Quran was a revelation directly from God, not from the Bible. But of course, the Quran does not accept Jesus Christ as the Messiah. And the Islamic people don't accept Jesus Christ as the Messiah. They accept a different Messiah. So, and they don't have Israelite history as their culture either, as their basis, I should say, for their religion. They're not based on the Jewish faith. So, each of us has to determine which is the true faith. Christians have come to believe that through our own study. Faith comes through knowledge. We study and we gain knowledge, and that's how we get faith. It's not a blind thing. But our study for today, July 24th, 2023, is concluded at 18:26 hours Eastern Daylight Time. I'm Ward Green. I love you. And on my behalf, this is Dusty, and this is Gully saying bye for now.